If you recall, I gave a lesson called New Testament Worship, and it was a bit of an introduction to the lesson that we're going to have today. We're going to talk about the life of Christ and some of the lessons that He taught us in the Scriptures. Hopefully, if I get the chance to speak with you again, we're going to talk about the Lord's Supper and kind of close out this miniature series of lessons I have here. But I thought, you know, we hear quite a few lessons about the life of Christ, and people will go through from His birth until His death, and I think we'll take a different approach on this lesson. We're just going to talk about some of the lessons that He taught us. You know, there's some pretty obvious lessons in the Bible that Christ taught us. Whether He did them, whether He, by example, or whether He encouraged someone else to do them, there's many lessons that Christ taught us. But we're going to focus on some of those lessons that aren't quite as obvious. Some of the lessons that maybe you wouldn't think of that He taught us. We're going to talk about stepping outside of your comfort zone. We'll talk about how when sometimes you feel like you have no friends, Christ is there and God is there. And how it's not how you start, but it's how you finish. We're going to talk about overcoming obstacles, obedience. And we'll close this evening by talking about remembering Christ to kind of introduce us into the Lord's Supper that we'll talk about next time. But if you look in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8, we see a scripture that tells us something about Christ. If you recall, Brother James Ludeke used this scripture as an opening scripture in one of his lessons called The Things Which He Suffered. And he gave that here a few months back. But in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 8, it says, though He were a son, yet He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. You know, that's something we all know about Christ's life, is that He suffered things. He suffered many things throughout His life from the time when He was young and obviously till His death on the cross. And I guess I'm going to use that kind of as a trumping card over and over again in this lesson. We'll talk about the death of Christ and some lessons that He taught us through His death on the cross, because there's many lessons that we can learn through that. But the thing about Christ is, even though He suffered, He overcame. And that's why we have these lessons to learn from Him. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, it says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in Me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So this is really why we have these lessons from Christ. And a lot of these lessons we have from Christ are because He overcame the world. And they're because He endured those that suffering and those temptations, and because of all those obstacles that He overcame. When I talk about obvious lessons, I mean, there's some things that Christ literally was giving a lesson in the Scriptures. He talks about parables, and He teaches many things in the parables. We're not going to go into those this evening, but He talks about the importance of a single soul. He talks about coming back to God. He talks about receiving God's Word. And He talks about many, many more things through parables. And that's one of the obvious lessons that we have from Christ. Another one that, of course, anyone could think of is love. Christ teaches us to love throughout the Scriptures. And I think in any one of these points that we're going to talk about today, you'll find love in that Christ also teaches. In John chapter 15 and 13, it says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And then He says, ye are My friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. In verse 17, He says, these things I command you, that ye love one another. There's times in the Scriptures where Christ teaches us something by commanding it. Not only did He show it, but He commands us to do that. And He says that the greatest love that there is to lay down His life for a friend. And He did that for us. He showed us the greatest love that can be shown to friends. And He says that we are His friend. You know, another time in the Scriptures when Christ shows His love is in John chapter 11 and verse 32 through 35. It says, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying unto Him, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, He groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid Him? They said unto Him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. You know, we read a story here about after Lazarus has died, one of Jesus' friends, he goes to visit with their family, and he goes to grieve with them over that loss of Lazarus. And it grieves Jesus. He cries over this. And I think that shows us the love that Jesus had, that He would go and He would go to comfort this family and He would go to grieve with them. Of course, another very obvious lesson that Christ teaches us is how to be a servant. For Christ came to be a servant. He came for those that were lost. He came to bring them to repentance. He came to serve us, even though we should be serving Him. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 43, it says, but so shall it not be among you, But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. So as we see, there's a lot of obvious lessons that Christ teaches us. I could have made 4 or 5 lessons about obvious lessons that Christ teaches us, about things that Christ commanded us to do. But we're going to talk about some of those that maybe aren't quite as obvious that Christ taught us through the Scriptures. And the first one there is stepping outside of your comfort zone. You know, I can't speak for these guys that we've ordained this evening, but I believe if you'd asked them years ago, how would you feel about being a leadership in the church or a leader in the church? They may feel a little uncomfortable with that. They may have been excited about that, but it may have been something that would have forced them to be outside of their comfort zone. But I believe Christ challenges us to step outside of our comfort zone. He challenges us to do things that will help us grow in Him. In Matthew chapter 14 and 24, we read a story that says, "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? I think Peter was much out of his comfort zone at this point. If you had asked me to be out there on the seas and the wind is blowing and the waves are crashing down and you think, I think I'll go out there. You know, I'm thinking that's going to be pretty far out of Peter's comfort zone. But Christ tells him to come on out there. And even though his faith caused him to sink, Christ was there and he picked him up whenever he failed. He picked him up and he caused him to go ahead and come out there to Jesus. And I think Peter was much out of his comfort zone in doing this. And not only did Christ encourage Peter to step outside of his comfort zone, but he says something else in Matthew chapter 25 that could also be outside of our comfort zone. A well-known scripture that reads, For I was an hungered and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger and ye took me not in. Naked and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in hunger, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. You know, when I think of this as stepping outside of your comfort zone, I see maybe some people that they don't quite feel comfortable with bringing naked people clothes. I think that'd have to be me. I wouldn't feel very comfortable bringing someone naked some clothes. I might be glad that I did it. But there's other things that you might feel is out of your comfort zone. You may not feel like you're quite comfortable going to people that really need your help. People that are really hungry, that need food. People that are really thirsty, that need something to drink. Or people that are really lonely who need someone to visit to. But I think Jesus challenges us to step outside of our comfort zone in doing that. It's a commandment to do that. So I ask you, what can be gained from this? What can be gained from stepping outside of your comfort zone? I think that you can more successfully bring people to Christ. I think that's a pretty obviously thing that can come out of that. You can invite people to church. You can invite people to sit down and study with you. Maybe you don't feel comfortable with that, but do it anyways, because it's something that we ought to do. And at the worst, you're going to become better at a skill that maybe wasn't your strong point. Maybe if you aren't good at speaking, but you decide to stand up here and speak, it's going to make you better at that. It's going to make you better at meeting the public if you don't necessarily like to talk to people. It'll make you better at doing studies if you just decide to do some studies with people, just because you're stepping outside of your comfort zone. Because just like Peter, whenever he started to sink, Christ caught him, and he'll do the same thing for us. If we're truly trying to do this to better his kingdom, then Christ is going to be there to catch us whenever we step outside of his comfort zone and maybe fail in doing that. Next is when you feel like you have no friends, he is there. A scripture that made me think of that was in Matthew chapter 26 of Jesus himself. He's not challenging someone to know that he's there, to know that God's there, but it's Jesus himself. It says, And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. You know, this is obviously a time in Christ's life when he was not only out of his comfort zone, but he had no friends. You know, he was there with Peter, but truly on the inside, he felt alone. And he felt like he didn't really have anyone there except for God. And he goes and he prays to God. And he knows that whenever he feels alone, he can go there and he can talk to him and he can have a true friend in that time, and that someone can help him get through these situations. And God will do the same thing for us. Christ will do the same thing for us. So what can be gained from this? Peace of mind. Whenever we pray and we think we're alone, God is there. We can gain peace of mind from that. Whenever we're tired and weary, God can pick us back and put us on our feet at that times. And at the worst, I mean, you just had a conversation with the God. That's the worst thing that can happen, is you talking to God. And I think when we do that with a true and honest heart, he's going to help us. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. Another lesson that Christ teaches us through the scriptures. In John chapter 8 and verse number 10, it says, When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Women, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You see, this woman, this is the adulterous woman that we read about there at the Mount of Olives. And she obviously didn't have things going very well. She didn't obviously have a very good start, but Jesus picks her up. He says, Neither do I condemn thee. He says, Go and sin no more. He picks her up on her feet. And we can read many situations in the scriptures whenever Jesus found somebody who was down, somebody who needed help, and he picked them up, and he set them on the right path, and he helped them to finish strongly. In John chapter 9, in the first 7 or 8 verses there, it says, And Jesus passed by, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I'm the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. This man literally from the start could not see. It wasn't necessarily that he had sin in his life, but he couldn't see. And Jesus took that start of his life that he had and he made him where he could see, and he sent him on his way rejoicing in that. And Jesus teaches us many times throughout the scriptures, and of course, he teaches that by himself. And while I don't want to say that Jesus didn't have a strong start because he lived a perfect life, but he finished even stronger. And so even if you have things going well in your life, I think Jesus teaches us that we can finish stronger, that we can always improve on things, and we can always do a little bit more. And he taught us that through dying on the cross after he lived a perfect life anyways. So what can be gained from this? Well, you can give people another chance. People that maybe have wronged you, as the adulterous woman had sinned, Jesus gave her another chance. We can give people another chance. We can get help ourselves if we have sin and we have troubles in our lives, because Jesus is there and he's going to pick us back up and put us on our feet. And at the very worst, you can have a goal to become better each and every day that you live. You can have a goal to set and see every day. Next, and this is really probably one of the more well-known things that Jesus taught us, is how to overcome obstacles. But I thought it was so important that we might as well talk about it anyways. One of the biggest obstacles that Jesus overcame was temptation. As we read there in Luke chapter 4, verses 2 through 13, it says, Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. You know, I think this is a pretty interesting story here we find of Satan tempting Jesus. And what I noticed here recently reading this is, as he gets Jesus in a place that he's, if you could even say, is weak at the moment because he's hungry. And he knows Jesus is hungry, so he tempts him by saying, make these stones into bread. And Jesus comes back at him with scripture and he resists that temptation. And I think that something that Christ teaches here in this moment is that if we resist, the devil's tactics, they begin to crumble a little bit at a time. Because right after that, the devil says, he takes him up to a high mountain and he says, all this will be thine if you'll fall down and worship me. Well, Jesus created the world. He was there when the creation happened. He's trying to tempt Jesus with something that Jesus created. And I think that Jesus, in resisting those temptations, his tactic fell apart. And I think that's something Jesus teaches us there through overcoming temptation. Not only did Jesus overcome temptation, but obviously he overcame death. Not only for himself, but for you and me. In Luke 24, it says, Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. I think that's probably the biggest obstacle Jesus overcame was death. He knew he was going to have to do it. That's why he was sent, was to overcome death. And he did that for you and me. So what can be gained from this? Knowing that Jesus overcame death. What can we learn from that? What can be gained from him overcoming temptation? And what can we learn from him overcoming temptation? Well, I think it's proof that temptation, that gets other people, especially Jesus. If Jesus was tempted, then we can be tempted too, and that we can overcome that too. But he was tempted by the devil himself. We can gain that, the knowing that through Christ all things are possible. And then absolutely at the worst, we gain an appreciation for the obstacles that Christ overcame. And we gained a goal in dealing with temptation. For the last couple points of this sermon, we're going to talk about obedience and we're going to talk about remembering Christ. Obedience is obviously another one of those big lessons that Christ taught us as he was obedient through his whole life. And the scripture that we already read, it says, Though he were a son, yet he learned the obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. You know, it was through the suffering that gave him that obedience. It wasn't that Jesus came and obeyed, but through those sufferings, he became obedient. And I think we're going to have to do some of the same things. We're going to have to suffer through some things. We're going to have to overcome some obstacles. We're going to have to step outside of our comfort zone. You know, we're going to have to rely on God whenever we feel like we're alone. And we're going to have to do and learn those lessons from Christ and apply them to our lives when they're needed. So what can be gained from this learning about obedience? There's too many things to count. Too many things to count and too many ways that it helps us by being obedient to God. But at the worst, if we obey God and if we take that lesson from Jesus Christ and apply it to our lives, at the very worst, we'll obtain eternal salvation. And it don't get any better than that. So finally today, I'd like to talk about remembering Christ. We'll probably read some of these same scriptures whenever we talk about the Lord's Supper. But when I think about remembering, I think about Genesis chapter 9, and we'll read a couple of scriptures there. It says, And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I'll remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. You know, God set this as a reminder that he would never destroy the earth again by way of water. And now we have another thing to remember today. You know, then they would remember this, that Christ wouldn't, or that God wouldn't destroy the world by water. But today we're supposed to remember Christ. We're supposed to remember what he overcame. Not that God destroyed the world, but we're supposed to remember that Christ overcame the world. We're supposed to remember the sin that he overcame. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and 24, it says, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death, till he come.'" And to find out what we can gain out of this, we'll read the next few verses there. It says, "But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." So this is what happens when we don't remember Christ. We don't remember Christ in the way that we ought to whenever we come around the table. We eateth and drinketh damnation to ourselves. It's plainly written there. It's unworthy to God. It's not something that God has respect for. But whenever we can worthily partake of this cup, we can worthily partake of the Lord's Supper, and we can worthily remember Christ as we're supposed to on the first day of the week, each and every week. So in closing this afternoon, I'd like to ask you a few questions. If we can take and look at these lessons that Christ has taught us, and we've looked at quite several this evening, what happens if we apply these to our lives and we show them to someone else? As Terry talked about this morning, he talked about choices and how they don't affect us, but they affect pretty much everyone around us. Well, this is the same thing. If we choose to take these lessons from Christ and apply them to our lives, then who else is that going to affect? Is that going to inspire someone else to obey God? Is that going to inspire someone else to step outside of their comfort zone or pray to God? Is that going to inspire someone else to open up God's Word? Maybe they'll inspire someone else, and then someone else, and someone else. And it'll keep growing and growing if we can obey God and apply those lessons to our life. And I think at the very worst, we'll please God. I think that's the worst thing that can happen if we apply these to our lives.